this doesn't, either regularly or in the weekend, sometimes, you know, when I have nothing to do, I just look at it, type in a few things, or just think about it a little bit. But it has changed a little bit. I only think of it on Thursdays now, or Saturdays.
I'm hoping that Lewis gets done with the current work that he's doing, so he can help you out more with your stuff.
Yeah, maybe next Thursday I should help you with the Exigby.
Sure.
Get that done so you can quickly get done with yours.
Oh, well, actually, I'm using another thing, so I totally need that.
You're using another printer?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Is it able to...
But it's not wireless.
Okay, it's wired.
Wired.
God, that's not cool, man.
You have
to be there.
Yeah. No, actually, it has a USB serial port. So it can log all the
measurements. So it's the power measurements, though.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be crazy to expect Lewis to be staring at the
hours
and making noise.
Yeah, I think the last experiment lasts for 8 hours.
So although we make our PhD students work hard, we don't make them work that hard.
Yeah, you guys have mercy for them.
So what is on the agenda for today? I mean, did we have a plan or?
Yeah, we actually did. We said we'd talk about the migrator and finalize the plans for the integrator. Right now, the idea we're leaning toward is the quantum request.
Quantum request.
Yeah,
we
named it the quantum request. Yeah, I described it a bit in the paper, but I don't know if there's anything else we want to add.
Yeah. I mean, it's more like Heisenberg's.
Yeah. Heisenberg. Principle. I figured the Heisenberg request kind of...
Yeah, it's a bit too long, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we can shorten it to H request.
The H.
H request or something like that. Yeah, but that idea actually, after Lewis spoke about it last time, makes quite a lot of sense. Yeah. And the earlier what we had in mind, so have you resolved all the issues with the indirector, or I mean, with this new H request, are there still outstanding questions, or?
I don't think there is, at least there isn't anything that I can think of.
Maybe as you start writing more, you have some questions that
probably
come up, okay, what about this? And
when I start implementing as well, I'll see that perhaps there's a little problem with the idea, but right now I can't think of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it works very similar to using the response time, except it's more active. So right now, as I have it implemented, it's done via response time.
Mm.
So even with the implementation, I mean, it'll just be a couple of if statement different.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just have to check each request to see if they're valid.
Okay.
And if they're not valid, then I know that I need to go to the third queue to get the actual request.
Mm. I mean, this quantum request certainly is, I think, a good idea. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we also want to discuss the alternatives that, you know, which are based on,
of course,
you know, explicitly based on response time and dispatch on arrival, based on response time. So we should talk about that also, and also like round robin.
Yes.
In round robin, if you know, especially if you have a choice, then you alternate that stuff and then show that. And those kinds of simplistic solutions do not make much sense, right? And I remember that we also had this idea of delaying the request, right?
Yes, we talked about that quite a bit,
and
we're finding several problems with it.
Hmm.
Because I remember that you had suggested that we delayed until we find a joining request, which we could merge the request, therefore we can reduce the amount of requests going to the device. And one of the problems we were having with delaying the request was perhaps, one of the problems was that it might exist that at the time the queue loads are small, and when we do receive that the request that fits the characteristics that we're looking for, that the queue load for that particular device suddenly increased tenfold, and that might be a problem because the queue load wouldn't be balanced if we keep increasing the size of the.
Especially if there is an idle time in the other device.
Exactly.
So.
But on the other hand, quantum request handles idle times as well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So, but I mean, before we go into the quantum request, or we figure out the name later on, we in the discussion of the paper, we can sort of progressively lay out the ideas and say, okay, here's the ideas, but there's this problem. Here's another idea that solves this problem, and build it incrementally.
If we do that, that paper is going to be pretty long.
We can condense the descriptions, right?
Yeah.
I mean, especially these alternative I/O schedulers, you can describe them maybe in 3 or 4 sentences each, right?
I can try that. I actually have a description, and I simply started and ended with the quantum request. I didn't talk about any of the other ideas that we talked about because I wanted to sort of reduce the size of the paper. It seems to be getting out of hand.
Mm.
I mean, so far we have 12 pages, and we don't even have an implementation.
But like you noticed last time, there are big margins on all sides, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So if we go to 1-inch margins, maybe we don't have such a...
Yeah, it might be smaller. Maybe I'll reduce the margin just so I can get a better perspective of the actual length of the paper.
Yeah. Okay, so let's see. So let's move on then to the next discussion, which is the migrator.
The migrator.
Okay. So the migrator's task is to move data from disk to flash and also from flash to disk, I guess. Right. I guess the key issue is for the migrator is when, because we already addressed what, right? We already know what data we move. We move data into the flash based on the value or this cost of the data. I don't know what we call it. Do we call it a cost?
Rank.
Yeah. The rank of the data to be in flash, which is based on several observations and several different parameters.
And we said we would the cost of that block, the block itself being a 4K block.
Yes.
So we migrate in terms of 4K blocks.
Yes. So I guess there was this idea of opportunistic migration, right, where we see data that's being read or being written, and at that time the rank of the page increases above some threshold of average ranks. Okay, so let's say we maintain some sort of statistics about the ranks of pages in the flash, right? I think this is key, right? So maybe we have the average rank of a page in the flash at any point in time, and we have let's say the lowest rank of a page in flash and the highest rank of a page in flash. And so we have, let's say, these three different values: average, low, and
average,
high.
Lowest, and highest.
Lowest and highest. And then we can have something like, if we see a new page that's either being read or written, the observation is the ranks don't change unless pages are read and written, right? So we have an opportunity at that point to determine if it makes sense to move the page that is being read or written into the flash. Okay. So we could do it completely in an online fashion, correct? Instead of having an explicit migration where we schedule some thread which is going to pull data from here and put it over there, which I think is, first of all, it might, well, there are some advantages to doing that because we have like a very controlled duration where all the data movement occurs, right? And we can argue that, okay, you can do this migration during system idle time, so it doesn't affect any foreground operations. So that's the advantage of doing, you know, periodic or migration, as opposed to opportunistic migration, where we try to minimize the number of I/O operations using the fact that data is already in memory, right? Because a page was written or a page was read, and using the in-memory copy to write the data out to flash, or a page was read from flash, and it can be purged to disk, right? So I think there are advantages and disadvantages to both approaches. What do you guys think? So there is one part which is moving data into the flash, right? So let's talk about that first, and then we can figure out how to move data out of the flash.
Well, it's like you said, the advantages are clear. If we do it inline, we're not generating any extra requests, or we're generating a minimum of extra requests. While if we do it at times that the system is idle, not only are we generating extra requests, but the system is at any given moment in time, the system is not as optimized as it could be. Because progressive optimization is always better than a one-time optimization. Because then you might be using the system now, and it would be actually trying to configure itself for a future optimization. While in the future, you might just have switched workloads.
Mm-hmm.
So data optimization would be invalid, and you'd have to rebuild. The system would have to rebuild its optimization, and then when you're done, that's when it's actually applying it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a problem in that. Well, if it's doing it inline and opportunistically, while you're working, it's configuring so that the next time you access the same data that you're working with, it's faster. And
mm-hmm.
I think it works better in that way.
The downside is that we do introduce additional requests during, you know, when the foreground I/O is happening.
Yes.
Right. So that's the downside. Now,
but that will happen in your case as well.
In the other case, you could argue that, well, we should do the migration when the system is relatively idle. Right. So the effects of migration.
The thing is that in the online case, the writes are, you can say that the writes are for free, because we have to write anyway.
Well, in truth, though.
In the case of the reads, it's when we actually introduce I/O.
Correct.
And we have the option of doing the I/O or not, right? So one thing we can do to address that problem is to include in the cost function something like the load, the current load of the system before doing that write to the flash, right? Which I think is the only problem.
I think the rank?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the rank? I think the rank has to be kept separate,
okay,
from the current load of the system. So we could have a criteria to
mm-hmm.
to separately check for the load.
Okay.
And do the write operation if the load is below some level.
Right.
I think that's more reasonable than to factor in the current load into the rank,
yeah.
And then the rank changes a lot.
Right. Yeah, and I think that makes sense because it's the same thing we would do in the other case. But now we do it opportunistically than we have it made in memory.
One thing I'm wondering is, since we have the bandwidth, does the extra IOs that we just generate become insignificant? Because after all, once we generate those IOs, those extra writes, after that they're written, or while they're in the process of being written, any requests that come to that to those blocks will become quantum requests. So they will either be handled, any read request that comes to these blocks will either be handled by the hard drive or the SSD. So in a way, if, for example, we are making a migration, and suddenly a request comes to that block, and the block that we're migrating to isn't faster, it would be handled by the ordinary device. So what I'm trying to say is that the user wouldn't really perceive it, since any requests that come to those blocks while we're generating I/O would be quantum requests.
Right, but those are, what about the requests that are not to the block that we are replicating?
Then those would...
they get affected because there are more I/Os in the path now.
Yeah, they are.
Right. So here, I guess there are a couple of different cases that we can consider independently.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so...
But isn't one of the goals of the system to keep hot blocks inside that... overlap region?
Yes, that's sort of the goal of the system, but under reasonable overhead.
Yes.
Right? So, although we want to go there, if we introduce too much overhead, then the benefits of having the hard stuff in the SSD might be diminished, and the benefits may actually, the cost may outweigh the benefits, overhead costs, right? So there are two independent things at a high level that we need to worry about. One is these are the two things that need to happen. For each block of data in the steady state, for each page we move to the flash, we need to move something else to the disk. Right? So this is about steady state.
Each thing we move to the flash, we need to move something else to the disk?
Right, so when we add stuff to the flash, we need to evict
something
from the flash to the disk as well, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a page that is chosen for replacement in the flash,
mm-hmm,
is up to date on disk, then we save on that move. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess we are so far been talking about this part.
Mm-hmm.
So, and here there are two different strategies at a high level. Right. So we have an opportunistic inline mechanism or a periodic offline mechanism. So in this case we have address reads and writes. Separately, because they work differently. In the case of writes, we can say that it's a free operation. Right? In the case of reads, we read in the data from the disk, we need to write it out to the flash, that's an extra write, okay, which can affect the program. So, in this case,
we have one extra operation.
based on load on this based on control. So if the current load is too high, then we do not do the opportunistic migration.
So we can
delay
the migration.
Yeah. Now the thing is that, let's say, so we talked about the low, average, and high levels, and then it could be that some page just goes above the low and then goes back below low and does this, right? So it keeps moving back and forth between the flash and disk. We don't want that, right? So
yeah. So
how do we address that?
We only move things that are about average to high, in between the line of average to high.
So what you're saying is that queues for opportunistic as well as for periodic migration, those pages with rank that are higher than the average?
Yes, or about the average.
Okay, so I guess one thing which we could do is we could have some sort of threshold here, right, and say that pages that are ranked above this threshold will, when once they cross this threshold, then they move to the flash, else they stay on the disk, right? So we avoid this like sort of situation. Which means that a low rank page is the one that's going to be thrown away when one of this thing happens, right? So what's going to happen when this guy leaves, the low is going to go down, right? So we want to sort of make this threshold far away enough so that the new low doesn't become the threshold.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things for stability that we need to worry about.
And we might have the case where, because rank both the average, I guess we could have the a moving threshold that depends on the average, because I can definitely see the low moving higher and higher based on how often certain pages are accessed.
That's true.
Yes. So if the threshold is static, then it might even be that the low goes over the threshold and we're trying to move every single page to flash.
Mm. That's true. So what you're saying is that make this dynamic at any time based on the values of low and average.
Yes. So it should be at some distance between low and average.
Okay. That makes sense. So that's something that can be used directly in both of these. So if you're doing opportunistic, the candidate for move have to be above the threshold that is dynamically set. Similarly for periodic, when we choose the pages to move into the flash, all those pages should have a rank higher than the threshold. So here we need to worry about how many, right? How many, when? And I guess the question is, when we pick the highest ranked page that is not in the flash, above the threshold, and we pretend to move it, and then when we pretend to move it, the low will fall, right? Low will increase, the average and the rank, the threshold will change. So sort of make it dynamic. So how many would depend on one by one. With changing low, average, and threshold. Right? That makes sense. And as we add stuff, we change the rank.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we find that further pages in the disk, high rank pages in the disk, do not meet the threshold, we stop. Right?
High rank pages in the disk do not meet the threshold? What do you mean?
So the pages on the disk that are not in the flash,
mm-hmm.
the highest rank of those.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of sort the ranks in the disk. And then you pick the highest rank.
And you try to move.
And first of all, you check if that highest rank is above the threshold or not.
Mm-hmm.
If it is above the threshold, you pretend that you moved it. Right? Because this is just a creation of some plan. What data to move. No, I should say, sort of how many, I should say what. What data to move. So, we are adding one by one good pages from disk that do not exist on flash to the flash.
Mm-hmm.
But by doing that, we are also changing the low, because each time we add a page, we are adding something, right? So the low changes, the average changes, because we just introduced a new page and removed a page, the threshold changes, right? So once we consider the topmost rank page on disk, we consider the next rank, but now with a new threshold. Like you pretended threshold.
Oh, I see what you mean. So once we move the highest
mm-hmm.
rank that is above the threshold,
mm-hmm.
the threshold changes and we have a new threshold. So
yeah.
Therefore, we might have additional pages to move.
The idea is that the threshold will always only increase, right? Because when you move that, the reason we move the page is because it was above the low.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that the threshold is between the average and the low,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, actually, the threshold can also drop.
Yeah, that's what
depending on how
drop if you remove one that is higher than the average, than the threshold. Then you have to recalculate the average below.
No, threshold should only increase because the average rank is going to go up, right? Because we picked a page with a rank greater than the threshold, and we removed a page that had the lowest rank.
Lowest rank?
In the flash.
Oh, okay, I see. Lowest rank in the flash. Oh, I see. So each time, yeah, we're at the steady state, like you said.
Yeah.
So each time we move that one of the highest rank
from
disk. The disk, we have to also move in one of the lower rank.
Out. From the flash.
From the flash.
So
to disk.
To disk, exactly. So which means that the average rank is going to go up each time we do that. If the average goes up, well, the low also goes up because we just threw out the low, right? So the question is what happens to the threshold. So we had to choose setting the threshold in such a way that the threshold doesn't go back and forth, right? It doesn't increase and then decrease because of all of these. Right, so that's something we need to be careful about. Okay. So.
Oh, I see what you mean. Even though the
average rank
will move, the actual rank of each block doesn't change. So a block that was low before, below the threshold might just move down to accommodate it. So we'd have to move that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So the threshold needs to move and. I'm assuming that as the low and average changes, the threshold will change. The average increases, the low increases, so the threshold should also increase.
Yeah, because it's a percentage in between the two.
Yeah.
So we could say that the threshold is, 80% up.
Yeah. So
yeah,
we could do something along those lines.
80% in the average, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but isn't that the desirable though? That the threshold moves to get pages that were once low.
That's what we want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Precisely. Okay, so that's sorted out. So the what is sorted out, right? And then the when would be, you could say, idle time or times of low activity. something like that. Right? It could also be when the number of pages to be moved becomes too large, and it turns out that all the high rank pages are on disk, and then the pages in the flash are all low rank. So that's another possibility, which is flash contains low popularity pages.
Okay.
Right.
So from what I understand, we do inline migration whenever it's a write. That's a given. If it's a write, we do it right away because it's free.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But because we have to do that anyway. But for reads, we go on a periodic migration.
Well, once again, it's not completely free because remember that we are only addressing one. We also need to address two. Right? So we write stuff out, it's not for free because we need to first evict stuff from the flash.
Wait. Okay.
This is not free.
Oh, I see. Because if it's in a steady state, we will need to move something out.
Yeah. So it's not entirely free. We need to move stuff out of the disk to disk from flash.
Then we have to solve that question. Then, since writes are no longer free, it would have to depend on load as well. So we can't do inline if the load on the disk is too great at all.
Yeah, that's a good point. What do you think, Lewis?
Okay. I'm trying to think of how we can have for free. So I don't know. I think it's something like if we can keep some free, guarantee some free pages in the flash at any given time somehow.
That'll depend on the size of the flash and also on the size of the workload, the ad blocks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure at any time, 4 gigs of data won't compose the entire workload, depending on what you're using. I mean, if it's a server, then it might just happen that you do have to work around with 4 gigs
mm-hmm.
or more. But if it's a station like this, a desktop, I don't think you'll let them ever go beyond that point. So, because right now we're considering that the steady state only, where each time we have to do a free write, then we have to also move something out of the disk. Because, and that is one question. We assume that we have to move something out of the disk as well. Are we saying that each time we have a free write, there will be blocks that are ranked higher than the threshold?
Yeah, so you're talking about this case, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the first of all, we understand this is not free.
Yes.
May not be free.
It
may not be free. Could be free if the candidate evicted page is clean, right? That if there is a duplicate on disk. Mm-hmm. And then in that case, it could be
free,
but it may not be free.
Mm-hmm.
So the eviction candidates have to be also chosen carefully. So we could choose eviction candidates. If to say that the lowest ranked page is dirty, then maybe it is better to replace another page which is below the threshold but is clean. Right? So those are some things that we could do potentially to reduce the cost of data migration.
Below the threshold, but clean. Yeah. Oh, so we're ranking everything. even if they're free blocks.
Even if they're...
Oh.
You mean on the flash?
Yes. That
no.
Can't rank from low, average to high. That's only for the disk?
So we have rank for every page.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
These are based on the ranks of pages in the flash right now.
Okay, so these are ranks of pages.
So this is the average rank of a page in the flash.
In the flash.
And the lowest rank of a page currently in the flash, highest rank of page currently in the flash.
Well, what I'm saying is that does a free page, for example, a page that has not been written to, does that have a rank?
No.
No.
No, it doesn't have a rank. But we always have, in the steady state, all pages are used.
Yes.
There's no reason for keeping a free page there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So in this sort of caching, here we are talking about caching, right? Sort of caching algorithms, you always talk about replacement, where you have to bring something in, you have to throw something else out.
Okay.
Because that's how it would, the system would operate in the steady state.
Okay. In that case, would you say that something that is highly ranked in the flash would be lowly ranked on the disk? So
no, the ranks are the same, right? The rank is based on the same formulation that you have in the paper right now. And that formulation is independent of where the page resides.
Mm.
So I guess you're confused about something.
We're going to have two ranks then.
So each page has a single rank, which is based on the formulation you have in the paper already right now.
Yes, and that formulation that determines high-ranking pages based on that formulation belongs on the flash.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's,
therefore,
I mean that's the goal. Is
yeah.
That something you know related to the rank? Right?
Yeah.
The thing is that the rank is based on how that data is accessed rather than where that data is.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So the rank comes first and the location comes afterwards. Right? So therefore the rank is not dependent on the location. Rank is dependent on, like Lewis said, how the data is being, how that specific page is being accessed.
Okay.
In the current workload. Rank can change if that, you know, it can fall because the page becomes unpopular and not getting accessed, or it can increase because it is accessed way too many times, right? But that is independent of where the page actually resides. Our goal is to have the high-ranked page in the flash.
In the low-ranked page.
And the lower-ranked page in the disk.
On the disk. Okay.
Right? Now, the higher-ranked page could also be on disk because there are two copies, right? Could
yeah,
be
of
that
if a higher-ranked page was originally on the disk,
right?
Then we could have moved it to the flash. Therefore, we have a high-ranked page on both. Okay.
Yeah. So that's sort of the idea. Now, then the low, average, and high are values based on. So there is currently the flash has some pages in there, right? We just look at those pages, compute the average rank of those pages which are currently in the flash, compute the lowest rank of just the pages in the flash, the highest rank of those pages. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So you don't have a rank for a page, one for flash and one for disk. You have only one rank.
Yeah. So that's what I was saying. If you're higher ranked, then you belong on the flash. Though you might have an alternate copy of the disk, but high rank writes usually would go to the flash.
Correct. Yes.
I mean that's why we need a migration, right? Because
yes.
We want to have high rank pages in the flash.
Yes, and low rank writes would go to the disk.
Mm. That's an interesting thing. So, for instance, if I know that there is a page that is on flash that is being written to, but it has a rank which is below the threshold, then I send it to disk instead,
and
then free up the slot on the flash.
Yeah.
So that future page writes for pages that are above the threshold, which do not exist in the flash, can be consumed.
Then one restriction we can have in that write is that we only write if we have free space in the flash.
That's also an interesting aspect.
Yeah, but that's probably, I'm thinking that probably that's not a good idea.
Well,
if that page has a low rank, it means that it has a low popularity, meaning that it's unlikely to
be written,
or be in memory, right? So in that sense, it doesn't work, because then freeing the space in the flash would be an unlikely event.
Well, it wouldn't be the central way to free it, but it certainly would be
an optimization.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the ways to do it, because if you're low rank and you're being written, then right there is a opportunity to simply move it to a disk, since we know that the disk will probably have free space available.
Well, disk has a location for that page which doesn't change. Right? Because the disk always has a slot for each page. The requests that are coming from the file system are to the disk locations.
That's true.
Right? So there, each page always has a disk location. It may or may not have a flash location, but it always has a disk location. It could, however, be that the contents of the page are stale in that location because the most recent copy is on flash. But regardless of that, for each page there is always a home location on disk.
Okay.
Right?
All right. I see. Yeah. That's true. So, what do we have so far?
So far we have.
Because it seems like our problem right now is the free writes.
The reads are even worse because they incur additional cost because we have to issue an additional write operation.
And we need to find a free, or we need to
evict something else.
Evict something else if there is no space. I think that's a big issue, rather than having this write.
I mean, we need to sort of think about this whole system as fluid, right? So it's going through different states. There are states in which there is more load. There are states in which there are less load. We also have the potential to buffer some stuff in memory if we wanted to, right? We have potential for delaying some writes from the current time and doing migration in a more sort of delayed way, in a lazy fashion. So there's many different things that we can think of. What is sort of the most the path of least resistance, right? Where we introduce sort of the least number of additional bottleneck operations, or even if we introduce additional operations, we do it in a sort of intelligent way, so that the amount of overhead that's introduced is
minimum,
does not affect the foreground operation in the worst case, right? So can we sort of think of this as a very fluid system and with many things going on and lots of different ways in which we can move data around, right? one thing that I see is that instead of having a single threshold value here, right, you could actually have two thresholds here, right? So one, and there should be sort of significant gap between these two thresholds. One threshold triggers moving into flush, and the other threshold, if I go, if the page goes below, then it triggers moving into disk.
But yeah, that makes sense. But then these would be these segments would be the size of a flash.
No. I mean between the low and the average. Now this is a rank. This is a rank. Not related to the size of the flash.
But
these are.
But I mean, you're based on those two.
These are rank
thresholds.
Yeah.
You are making decisions of what goes and what doesn't go to flash.
Yeah. So what I was thinking about is that. Is this part, because this what at least what I'm thinking of is no connection to the size of the flash, at least for these two thresholds. Let's say my original low, okay, so this is my low, and let's say this is my average. These two thresholds would be between the low and the average. Okay. So one of the thresholds would be closer to the average, the other one would be far away from the average. Right. The idea is that the one that's closer to the average will trigger the move into flash. So if there is a page that just had a rank increase increment beyond the higher threshold, but does not exist on flash, should be moved into flash.
Okay.
Now, for that, some page has to be evicted from the flash. Right? And we choose from among these pages with the rank that are below the low and the threshold. The reason is that we want some flexibility in choosing which page to move out, as opposed to always choosing the lowest ranked page. Why? The reason for that is because some of those pages are still very low ranked and may additionally be clean. Right? So we get the eviction for free.
So we're not picking the lowest. We're picking a page.
One of the lowest.
The lowest clean page.
Not necessarily lowest clean page, because if the lowest clean page is way up here, then we don't want to evict it.
Right.
So we want to pick one of these guys here. The reason for that flexibility is so that we get an opportunity to pick a clean page. If there does exist some page which is both low ranked as well as clean.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so just to give us some more flexibility. Now previously what we had is that we are always throwing away the lowest ranked page.
Yes.
No flexibility in choosing the victim.
Yeah, that's true.
Although the victim
is the lowest page.
Victim is the lowest page.
But now we have the additional criteria of if it's free.
If it's clean.
Clean.
Yeah. If it's clean, then we can immediately overwrite it without having to first move it to disk. Right, so somehow account for the cost of the migration out from flash to disk, and in this choice of the page to be evicted. So, you know, this freedom or having a sort of set of pages to choose from gives us more opportunity to pick a clean page.
Okay.
The property that all of these pages share is they're all low ranked. They're not the lowest ranked, but they're the lower ranked pages among the set of pages in the flash, right? And the pages are the ones that are below the lower threshold, right? So there are two thresholds that I'm talking about here, right? Now,
okay.
There's a reason for this. I can use the same threshold, right? I can use the same threshold.
Yeah,
that
that's what we're saying.
But then I have the same problem as before,
right?
Pages keep moving back and forth between the flash and disk.
Yeah, because the page's rank is going up and down across the threshold. Okay.
Yeah.
So in a way, this increases stability.
Yeah, increases. So having those two thresholds provide stability so that we don't keep moving the same page back and forth, also allow some flexibility in choosing the victim that, you know, allows us to reduce the cost of eviction. So that may be something that we could do. Now here, instead of, I mean, periodic probably does not make much sense, or it makes some sense, but not probably the best way. You could do activity based. Right. So in periods of low activity, then we could do this. Instead of saying periodic, okay,
yeah,
midnight every day, I'm going to do the migration, I say, I do it when the system is relatively idle.
Yeah.
I guess we address that. Yes. Okay, so
okay. We have the what? The when and the how. Somewhat.
I think how
because the how is a little complicated. We have the inline case where if it's a right, it could be free. But at the same time, if it's not free, then we have to consider the case of the two thresholds.
Yes.
And so if it's not free
and there is no clean low ranked page, then we need to move data out first.
Exactly. If it's not free and there is no clean,
then we choose the lowest ranked page because all of them are the same.
Exactly.
To move out to its home location, we know where it goes on disk.
Mm-hmm.
Every page has a home location.
That makes sense. And now that's the entire case for the right. So in a way, there won't be any offline periodic rights. Is that what I'm getting? Or what I mean is that, let's say we do have a right
mm-hmm.
that requires that when we go to do it, it's not free and the page that is there is dirty, so we do have to move it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so with periodic, with the you know, periodic migration, we do have the eviction cost as well.
Yeah, what I'm saying is when we have that right, the inline right,
mm-hmm.
When we do that, doesn't that eliminate all the rights that would go to offline? Because right is not based, the reason we have the offline periodic, I mean,
no, these are two alternatives. So for
oh, they're alternatives.
If, okay. If we do this, then we don't do this.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so
I was under the impression, both? I was under the impression we'll have both implemented where we'd be doing the first case.
Oh, free.
Free of cost, but then when it becomes based on load, we talked about read based on load would have to be delayed.
Mm.
I was guessing once we start delaying requests, then the activity based offline would take over those delayed.
That's a good point. Yeah,
we can
think of something.
So it seems like that hybrid.
Yeah, it seems like a hybrid way of doing it.
The thing is that somehow the first opportunistic way of doing things will amortize or will reduce the amount of work that you have to do in this period.
The periodic.
The periodic.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it will reduce the work in the paper.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, nice with you.
You're late.
Yeah, so we need to wrap up. But I think at least we had some progress today, right?
Yeah.
We can continue and make this even more concrete at our next meeting.
Okay. I'll think about it over the weekend and
have
a little something written up that describes this discussion a little bit, and we can add to it.
Next week.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
right.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right.